Tonight, a Costa Mesa man is behind bars accused of playing a violent role in the January 6th incident.
The FBI is offering $15,000 in their search.
See, I can stand under an umbrella. That's what you're writing, okay?
Solemn day on Capitol Hill, outside of the chamber, because it's also the second anniversary of the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
The feds have charged more than 800 people.
More than 1,000 people who have been charged in connection with the January 6th Capitol riot.
Could this really happen? Do these folks who kind of look like us, do they represent a threat to our democracy?
I'm going to get a regular coffee, a tall, a little room for cream. I began investigating January 6th back in 2021. I have since traveled across America, exploring how this country has changed because of January 6th. In 2023, I gained exclusive access to 40,000 hours of security videos from Capitol Hill.
Video that we're watching was never shown to his defense team.
So his lawyers didn't have this
No.
video. What do you think the footage shows about the way the media has been covering it?
It's going to change narratives no matter what your political perspective is.
The story I'm telling is one of two-tier justice in America. An open wound that runs much deeper than we realize.
9/11 is nothing compared to January 6th.
Calling the January 6th investigation the biggest investigation in FBI history.
We've had more domestic terrorism arrests than the prior year.
That's a total lie.
What we're about to discover on this incredible journey is equal parts shocking and inspiring.
I arrived at this point where I had no other choice.
We sued the FBI.
Stories that challenge prevailing narratives and point the compass toward the truth.
Well, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7, and today the arrests for J6 have just gotten personal for me. But someone who's been arrested is someone who is the son of a person that many of you will know. Strong Trump supporter, one of the best, greatest leaders in Washington, D.C., uncompromising for decades, one of my favorite people, Brent Bozell, the founder of Media Research Center. His son, Leo Brent Bozell, has just been arrested. And today, Brent will join us, and he's going to talk to us about his son's situation for the first time, really. He's going to spell it out. It's an incredible interview, and I don't think you'll want to miss it. Kamala Harris shouts all the time about the right to abortion. Do you think she ever takes a minute to think about what does God think? Does Kamala think about God? Do these leftists think about God? Do they ever think about that? Did they ever think about how God feels about their love for this, their bloodlust, really it is, for the death of babies, that that's more important than anything else in their universe? I don't know. I think human sacrifice, of course, has been around since the beginning of time. The god of Moloch was an ancient Canaanite god associated with the sacrifice of children. And there were so many more. So the next question is, I think, is we need to take a moment to think about what God really does think. It didn't go well for civilizations who sacrificed their children, and it won't go well with us if we don't stop this. Preborn is leading the charge in this nation, rescuing babies from this horrific practice. Every day, their network of clinics sees 200 babies saved and given life. Once a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears that heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. So it's just $28 for one ultrasound. So I'm encouraging you to go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. And you know that you can call us. You do know this, right? Do you write this? You should write this number down so that when you hear something and you want to comment, you can call. You put it on speed dial on your phone. Is there speed dial? I don't know. Put it in your contacts. It's 662-821-2425. 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can go on any podcast platform to listen to Sandy Rios 24/7. AFR, AmericanFamilyRadio.net is our home base. If you go to my website, sandyrios.com, you can also listen, and that's pretty easy. You can go to any social media platform, and there we are too. All right, stay tuned, because this is a very gripping and important edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
The son of a prominent conservative activist is now accused of being inside the U.S. Capitol during the deadly January 6th riot. Leo Brent Bazell V is now charged with obstructing an official proceeding, entering a restricted building, and disorderly conduct. Bazell is the son of Brent Bazell III, who founded the Media Research Center, Parents Television Council, and other conservative media organizations. According to an FBI affidavit, the younger Bazell was identified by a sweatshirt investigators say he was wearing that day. A lawyer on the docket for Bazell did not immediately return email Wednesday. Katie Johnston for CBS Philly.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. You know that J6 is a topic of discussion for us often. Since January the 6th, we've been covering this. And so this is a story that just broke, and it doesn't matter. This part doesn't matter, but it really affected me because I know the family. And a lot of you, we've talked to you. I have so much empathy for your families. I've talked to so many of the guys in jail. January 6th is a travesty. The Justice Department is now doubling down. They're arresting people at double the rate they were arresting them a year ago. And they're proud of it. Their goal is to arrest one person every day. But this particular person is a plum for them because he is the son of one of the best leaders in Washington, D.C., maybe even the best. Brent Bazell has been so stalwart. I've never seen him waver. I've never seen him take a soft position. I've seen him put his money where his mouth is. I am proud to be his friend. And so Brent is actually our guest this morning. Brent, first, let me say good morning, then I'm going to give you a better introduction. Good morning. Good morning. And I guess I would just ask you, Brent, how your family's doing. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you for everything you just said. And in a situation like this, it takes its toll. But at the end of the day, I'm so proud of how my family is taking it. It's a testament to their faith. They were all deeply Christian, were Catholics. And I would say that my son, Brent IV, has an extraordinary strength that's only gotten stronger since all this happened, his faith. And his mother has a very strong faith. And that really is carrying them through this. I feel so, you know, Sandy, I think about people who don't have a Christian faith and are faced with a situation like this, and how lonely it must be. So thank God that they had their faith.
Well, that's absolutely, ironically, your son was identified. I want to get into the details of this a little bit later, but let me just say, to prove your point, he was identified by a so-called FBI tipster with his by sweatshirt, which said Hershey Christian Academy. He was turned in by one of those tipsters. I know all about those tipsters. They are brigades of people. They have a terrible name. I wish I could remember. They're something hunters, and they volunteer. They go through Facebook and they go through social media and they do facial recognition, and they turn people over who were simply in the Capitol on that day. Now we'll get to Leo's situation in just a second. Brent, I want people to understand who you are, because you, yes, you've been around for a long time, but there are younger people who might not know who you are, and you are still having such incredible impact. I want to start by saying, just for my listeners, you heard me interview Dan Schneider just a few days ago, who is with MRC. He heads the Free Speech America Coalition, which is part of Media Research Center, which is Brent's organization. And, you know, they do all, they monitor social media. Right now, we were talking with Dan about how social media is preparing to interfere with this election, how they're censoring information. So that's one branch of what Brent has founded. He's the founder and president of Media Research Center. I think you founded it in 1988. But out of that has come Newsbusters, MRC Business, MRC Culture, MRC Latino, Daily Newswire, CNS News. Their content garners an average of 515 million impressions per week. Media Research Center sends out clips, alerts people like me in the media and other people that want to tune into this to some of the most important moments that are happening right now that you're not going to see on major news outlets. And so Brent has been on television for so many years. You'll recognize him. He's got a bright red hair and a full bright red beard. And he's very eloquent, and he always knocks it out of the park. And there's so much to say about you beyond that, Brent. But I wanted people to understand who you are. And you've always been, since 2016 and before, a strong Donald Trump supporter. So there's that. So let me ask you something, because, you know, Leo is Brent Bozell the fourth. I know the newsanchor got that wrong. And you are Brent Bozell the third. Okay, so tell us about your family, like the 1, 2, 3. I mean, where does this come from? What was the, you guys are Irish Catholic. So is there something you can tell us about your family, about why you use those numbers and what they've accomplished before your lifetime?
Yeah, well, we've always been a political family, Sandy. And this goes back to my father. My father was the first Washington editor of National Review magazine. He was Bill Buckley's best friend and roommate in college. He married Bill's sister. My mother is Bill Buckley's my uncle.
I didn't know that.
We've had a very strong political background all my life. The Bozell family, my Bozell family, has always been very, very active politically. And active, I mean, from the standpoint of discourse. We debate many things. We have many opinions. And we don't always agree on everything. But I will say my children, my five children, are all strong Catholics. They're all strong conservatives, and they're committed to their country. They're committed to their cause. After the 2020 elections, there was a difference of opinion as to what the outcome was. Half the family believed that the elections weren't necessarily stolen, although there was theft that took place, but it hadn't been proven conclusively. The other part of the family believed it had. And so there were members of my family that went to the rally on January 6th. Now, everybody focuses, Sandy, on the riots. There were maybe 100 people or 200 people who entered the Capitol. There were up to 100,000 people who were at the rally. And those things are all conflated, and it becomes the riots of January 6th. It was a fraction of the people. So that's the background of the family going to January 6th.
Yeah. All right, so Leo is 44. Where is he in the pecking order of the family?
He is one of my twins. My eldest is David, who works at the Media Research Center and also runs For America, a C4 organization that I founded. But then come come. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say he's one of those friends. I got it wrong. It's been a long week.
This is not good.
His nickname, by the way, is Zaker, and his nickname was given to him when he was a baby. Because his brother David, who was, I guess, a year old, couldn't pronounce Brent, and it came out Zeke or something. And he became the Zeker, as in Leave It to Beaver. He became the Zeker, and that nickname never left. At age 44, he's still the Zeker to everybody. He was number two. That was followed about 3 or 4 years later by a set of twins. And then we had the happy surprise 16 years later with our fifth.
Your only girl.
And we now have 17 grandchildren. So that's the fun part too.
Despite the circumstances, it's kind of fun, Brent, because I know something about your family, but this is great to hear all of this. So Zeger, Leo, what can you say about him as a man, as an adult? What kind of a guy? And what was he doing, like, before January the 6th?
I can't give you his hometown, even though it's out there. I just don't want to do it.
Okay.
He is a pillar of his community. I can tell you this. He lives in that town because his wife had to confront a stalker who threatened her life. And the police told him, he was living in Alexandria, Virginia, and the police told them that they couldn't guarantee their safety. And so they had to pick up and leave the job, leave the area where they'd been for years, move the family to another state, and start all over again, which they did without complaint. And it turned out to be an absolute blessing because this is this town is just a dream middle America town that has embraced them. They are part of a small but absolutely vibrant Christian community, Christian church in that town. Everything was turned upside down. I'm sorry, I should say he is married and he has three little girls. One not so little. She's going to get a license next year. But they are darling children. He's a pillar in his community. Anytime you go to visit him, there's always someone in his house visiting him. People who have issues go to him for help. We learned, Sandy, as a, you know, what kind of person is he? Can I brag about him? Of course I can.
Yes.
You learn when all this happens that, as part of his regular routine, going to work for a long time, he has been stopping under a bridge and bringing a meal to a homeless woman who he can't convince to get help, who wants to live under that bridge. So he brings her food on the way to work, and he's been doing it quietly. And we didn't know about it. He didn't boast about it, but that's the kind of a guy he is. Good man. He worked for a home improvement company, and in one of the character letters that was sent to the judge, his employer told him that he fears he is going to go out of business when my son goes to prison because of what my son did for his company.
Oh boy, you know, Brent, you don't know, but I told you, and I'll say again, this has been a constant on my mind almost constantly. If I could cover one subject, which I've never been inclined to do, because I like variety in my own mind, and this is a subject I think I could cover every day, because every day there's a story. And one of the things that I've discovered is that almost all of those guys, I don't know all of them, so I can't say all, are patriots. They're strong men. They have families. Many of them had businesses. They were former, military, former police or currently police. And they were there because they really believed, as I did, and I think you do too, that something was terribly wrong with the election of 2020. And this is what they get. They are the Trump supporters. They're the MAGA crowd. And as Trump said so many times, they're not after me, they're after you. And this, I think, January 6th is like the quintessential proof of that. They have so degraded regular Americans who love their country, who are patriotic, who are willing to fight for their country. They've done great damage to that population of people. Would you agree with that, that this has really been a damper on the courage and soul of America?
Yeah. Consider that you had up to 100,000 people there, and you can count on less than two hands the number of violent people who came to Washington with the intention of being violent against authorities, including the cops. I mean, there are less than 10 people who did that out of 100,000. And the media have so painted Trump Nation as that 10 people group that, Sandy, it should concern everyone that no conservative organization dares ever hold a rally in our nation's capital ever again.
Oh, I do, listen.
Think
I,
about,
you know,
think
yes,
about
no,
that.
I know. When I went to CPAC, well, I've been many times, of course, but in the years after January, I can't even talk. January 6th. People were actually, the first CPAC after that, people were afraid to come. They were. Attendance was down.
Yeah.
And we see that now with other things we do there. Of course, I know you know this firsthand, too, that people really are afraid, and maybe rightfully so. When you have phone companies turning over records illegally to the FBI without even being asked, so that they can catch anyone who happened to be in the vicinity on that day, whether they did anything at all. Their privacy violated. Their ruin. You know, you mentioned the town that that Leo and his wife live in. Honestly, Brent, I've heard so many nightmare stories. I think of Matthew Perna, who actually killed himself. Jerry Perna has been my guest more than once, mm-hmm. because and one of the part of her story and his was that the town treated them so badly, treated him like he was just a criminal, and he was a really good kid. He was a good kid. There was no criminal record. Had did all kinds of, was helping people all the time, as you described. Leo was very active in the church. But they tried to slap an extra charge on him, and that just sent him over the edge. Which I guess brings us back to Leo, because tell us about what's the charges now. This is nearly, just to reemphasize and restate. Leo has been given, I think, 3 years and 9 months, correct, in prison.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what are the charges against Leo? And tell us about that a little bit.
Okay, so the way it breaks down is that on January 6th, my son entered the Capitol when he ought not to have done it. He also banged on two windows and broke two windows before going in, which he ought not to have done. He also walked around the Capitol inside, which he ought not to have done. That activity brought him something like 12 felony counts. Destruction of property, illegal entering, all that, all sorts of ancillary charges that get thrown in when that happens. So, He was doxxed, like so many others, because his camouflage was his children's school sweatshirt. That's how little he prepared to come to Washington to cause mayhem. I should mention also, he is not part of any political organization. He didn't participate in any political organization during the 2016 campaign, though he supported the president. The only thing that he participated in was a prayer group that said the rosary every day for America after the election. That was the height of his involvement. So
So he came to Washington. He came to the rally. He was actually also coming, believe it or not, to do a music festival where he was trying to organize a music festival. But the artist that was coming in to perform was stopped at the airport in L.A. because he had COVID. And that was the end of that. But all that is in the text messaging. Okay, so he did all those things. He was immediately doxxed because of that sweatshirt by the far left. They immediately posted pictures of his house, gave out his home address, contacted the media, unloaded with phone calls, did all those things that made life not just for him, but for his wife, and for both of them shielding their little girls from this. So he asked, he's got an attorney, and he asked the attorney, should I just surrender? Because he wasn't going to hide anything. He did. And the attorney said, no, you have to go through the process. Well, what was the process? Knock on the door at 7 o'clock in the morning for his patented Roger Stone moments, where seven police and FBI agents come pouring in the house with weapons drawn, including a long arm, at 7 o'clock in the morning while they're making breakfast. Completely unnecessary to do. One phone call, and he would have just driven over to the police station. Okay, so he now has to face charges, and he has all these charges thrown at him. The Justice Department comes to him and offers him a deal. Plead to all of those and get a term of, like, I think it was 3 years or 4 years. But here's the kicker. All of those also included the obstruction charge, 1512, which is the Fisher case, which is being held by the Supreme Court.
Right.
That's the big one. Yeah. That's the one that is landing people in prison left and right, because that was obstruction with an official proceedings. Well, that one is going to be tossed out by the Supreme Court. Everyone's waiting for it to be tossed out. It's completely unconstitutional. The Justice Department knows this. The Biden Justice Department knows this full well. And so my son said, no, he could never take a plea. I mean, also, you know, a number of innocent people, unfortunately, didn't know that this thing was going to be tossed, or is going to be tossed. And they took deals, and they went to prison. But my son said no, he wasn't going to take that deal because of that obstruction charge. And so that was that. I said to my son at this point, this is more than 2.5 years ago, mind you. I told my son at that point, watch out, something's going to happen. I don't know what it is, and you don't know what it is. But they know this obstruction charge is going to be tossed. They've got to have something instead, because if they don't have that, what they've got is a whole series of very small things to throw against you. So they're going to come up with something. And Sandy, there it came on the eve of the trial, out of nowhere, assault on a police officer. We heard that this charge had come out, and we were just absolutely stunned. Now, mind you, people couldn't look at the evidence. That's another thing. Most people don't realize, if you're a defendant, you can't look at the video that hadn't been released. Only your lawyer can. But you're not allowed to go look at the own video that the Justice Department is going to use against you. So the question was, where in the world is this evidence? Well, they finally showed it to us. Sandy, it is not to be believed. And I tell people, it's got to be out there somewhere in the record. If you don't believe me, look at it yourself, and you will see exactly what I'm saying. Here's the picture, Sandy. My son is outside on one of these decks in the Capitol. He's standing next to a policeman. He's standing at the top of these windy stairs, steps going down, stone steps going down. At the top of it, he's talking to the cop, and he was there for a good 2 minutes, just looking at the crowd, talking to the cop. While that is happening, a crowd of protesters starts forming on those steps, And it gets to the critical point that the steps are completely filled with the protesters. When somebody says, push or let's go or something, and like an accordion or like dominoes, the crowd surges forward. Well, who is at the top of the steps but my son? Who is he next to on his right? A cop. Somebody pushes him from behind. He leans toward the cop. Sandy, even the judge said this could have gone either way because there isn't definitive evidence that he even touched the policeman. At most, his sweatshirt brushed by. That's it. Even the judge acknowledged this. But you learn very quickly that assault doesn't necessarily mean attack. It also means impede or interfere. And the argument was that by going forward, he was interfering with the policeman's possibility of doing something about the crowd. That was the assault charge. What made the assault charge even more incredible, the Justice Department knew there were three, and the judge in the sentencing brought it up, there were three different times that day where my son, I should back up, the judge said at the sentencing, said it twice, and he looked at the policemen who were in the room, in the courtroom, and he said, I want everyone to know that Mr. Bozell never attacked that police officer and never attacked any police officer all day. And in fact, three times came to the support of police officers. One time when a police officer was tear gassed and was crumpled to over fighting the, you know, the tear gas in the face, my son, the only one who did it, brought in water. Another time, and by the way, the Justice Department never released this video. Another time, my son knows it. Another time, a door was open for, and hit a policeman from behind, knocked him over. My son helped him to his feet. But the third one is the most telling. It's a rather frightening experience. It's a video that you see from one of the hallways, and it's a video with no audio. You see a semicircle of protesters around a cop who's got his baton out. It's a scary scene, mind you. He's looking at, you know, 50, 75 protesters. On one side of the room, a protester with a baseball bat starts taking the bat out of his backpack. The cop sees it and points to him and is yelling at him, telling him to put it away. This person disregards him and continues the action of pulling it out. My son goes from one end of the room to the other and gets in his face and orders him to put it away, and he does. So this was my son, the assaulter of police. So suddenly he's found guilty now of an assault. So now we've gone from two felonies of breaking windows and entering an obstruction, but now we have an assault and a conviction on a police officer. But we are not done yet. After the conviction, out of nowhere, about 3 weeks ago or so, the Justice Department made a declaration. They now wanted a terrorist enhancement charge put on my son. That is correct. My son, according to the Justice Department, for what I just told you, should be considered no different than the men who flew the airplanes into the World Trade Center on 9/11, should be considered no different than the blind sheik or the Benghazi attackers or Osama bin Laden, for that matter, for what I just told you. So we go to sentencing. And a couple of very interesting things happen. First, the judge knocks that one straight out, and he points out to the prosecution that the five violent Proud Boy members and one other violent person were the only ones with this terrorist enhancement. And how in the world was my son to be considered this? Oh, by the way, my son's record, his most serious offense, crime, in his entire life, age 44, is a traffic ticket. How in the world could my son be considered there? The Justice Department girl just stumbled all over herself, slapping papers around, digging in files, trying to come up with anything to justify that position. It was pathetic, and the judge threw that out. But then Keith came up with something else, and this gives you a flavor of where the Justice Department is today. He pointed out he had found something deep, buried in a footnote. Our lawyers had missed this, but the judge, to his credit, had done his homework enough that he found this. Deep, in the footnotes came the price tag for one of the broken windows, $867. He asked the prosecutor, isn't the threshold for a felony $1,000? And she said, yes, it is. But see, you would have to replace the whole frame and all the paints in that, and that would be well, over $1,000. To which the judge said, okay, but you yourself say here it's $867. It is a window pane within the frame. Is that the case? Back and forth, She finally admitted, yes, it was the case. The point is, Sandy, all along, from the very beginning of this process, 2.5 years ago, the Justice Department knew it was a misdemeanor, not a felony. At that point, the judge stopped the proceedings and turned to my son and he said, would you like a mistrial on that one charge? Offer it to him right there on the spot. And my son said, no, just let's just move on with this. He's taking responsibility for things, and let's just move on. So the judge, following certain guidelines that he has to file, and I got to say, this judge is not one of the hanging judge, and I harbor no ill will towards him. Judge John Bates truly tried to do the right thing. I disagree, obviously, with the conclusion, but he was looking at this in a really in a truly honorable fashion. The prosecution for the crime of brushing possibly against next to a policeman and breaking a window as a felony and breaking a window as a misdemeanor, entering the Capitol, for that, the prosecution asked for the maximum 20 years in prison. They actually wanted 27 years in prison, but the maximum they could ask for was only 20. That's what they wanted for what he did. Let's put this in perspective, Sandy. You also had, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, the Kavanaugh hearings. In the Kavanaugh hearings, you had protesters who broke into the court or into the Congress and disrupted the hearings while getting arrested and getting taken out. Those protesters who disrupted those hearings were fined between $25 and $50 for what they did. Let's put this in greater perspective. Look at 2020. Look at cities all over America, Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, Dallas, Salt Lake City, New York City, Washington, D.C. The list is endless, where Antifa and Black Lives Matter tried to burn them to the ground. There were dozens upon dozens of policemen injured. They had rocks, Molotov cocktails, everything thrown at them. There were police stations set on fires. There was an attempt to set courthouses on fire. You had dozens of people who died during those riots. You know, Sandy, there are tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of crimes that this Justice Department never prosecuted and will never prosecute. And yet, my guess is, if you look at just the assets used on my son and multiply that by some 500 people, I bet you anything they have spent over $1 billion, not to mention thousands of FBI agents trying to make these cases against Trump supporters. That's justice in America today. Yes, sorry for taking a long time, but there's
I appreciate it, every bit of it, Brent. And this is what I'm hearing, same but different in all these cases. In fact, that the obstruction of official proceeding charge, which the Supreme Court is in the process of, well, I guess they've already heard it. We're waiting for their decision. Of course, came out of the Enron case. It does not apply. It's a complete bogus charge, but it adds up to 20 years to the sentences. And Brent, there was a, I know this is not happy news. I don't think there's any, I don't even want to infer anything, but this is what it's doing to people. This, another guy in the similar circumstances, just, he was not in prison, but he killed himself just last week. Because they added that enhancement. They added that felony. And, you know, so many of these guys don't have the benefit of having a father like you who's wise and smart and understands, you know. So they're just out, you know, this is the full weight of the federal government coming down on them. And they feel desperate and for good reason. And one last thing, I've been told by some of our mutual friends that the Justice Department is planning on, if the Supreme Court strikes down that felony about obstructing an official proceeding, that they're going to then find other ways and other charges, which is just what you said they were doing with Leo, and also are considering having the guys that have been in now for, I know a guy's been in there for over 3 years, Brent, pretrial detention. But anyway, adding those, each sentence consecutively as opposed to concurrent, so that they will still serve the same amount of time. That's what they're scheming right now.
Sandy, these are 99.9% of the people involved are not political. They did not come here with political agendas. They were there because they believed their vote had been stolen. And they were there believing that Mike Pence could, should, and would change the outcome. And when they saw that he was not doing it, it's when they turn on the Capitol, believing their most sacred right, the right to vote, have been taken from them. Now, when you see there's great debate as to what happened next, my son will tell you all hell broke loose when they went up there. He was hit by dum-dum bullets. He was standing there. He said there was tear gas flying everywhere. He said it was complete mayhem. I'm not blaming the cops for this at all. I'm just saying this is what happened. We still don't know, and perhaps we'll never know, how many FBI agents were involved in this. How many of them were right there doing this while all this was taking place? Sandy, sadly, I just don't trust my government anymore. I used to, isn't it the greatest tragedy of all that when we were younger, the one institution you despised was the IRS. The one institution you revered was the FBI.
Oh, don't I know it? My husband is a former agent, so this is personal to us in many ways. Yeah, it's a gut punch. And Joe Hanneman, I know you've been. Brent, I can't even imagine you. I read, and you haven't said it yet on our show here, but that you just went into silent mode for the last 3.5 years, which is pretty amazing. Given that your job and your forte is communication and following these kinds of issues, that must have been very difficult. I was going to commend to you, if you haven't seen it, Joe Hanneman of Epoch Times is the reporter on this issue, and he has done two incredible documentaries, The Truth About J6, and they are, you know, he exposes a lot of those. They have actually circled and identified several actors who have never been identified with the FBI, some taking down the barricades before the J6ers got there, even got close to the Capitol. These guys were removing the barricades, and some, just a whole list of them. I think you'd find that fascinating, but here we are. Let me ask you just a practical question. Are you going to appeal this sentence of Leo's, or are you going to let it sit for a bit?
We don't know yet. There is a possibility we'll do it. But there's also the possibility that we will say, enough is enough. And he's gone through a special hell for over 3 years already. You don't have to be in prison to be going through hell. And he has been. And do we want this to go on for years more? It's a decision his wife and he will need to make, but they are looking at it. And there are possibilities. There are things that happen. Things, I guess, such as the Justice Department blatantly making up charges, inventing charges.
It's so obvious to most people now, even with President Trump in the New York courtroom, I think people are beginning to wake up, Brent, because it is so bad. You know, even CNN is beginning to report on some of this stuff.
Well, I've asked myself this question. How in the world can it be justified going to this extreme, including a terrorism enhancement charge against someone whose greatest offense has been a traffic ticket? The answer is, in that sense, it's not about him. It's about his last name, and it's that he shares my name, and they know I'm a supporter of Donald Trump. Here's my concern, and I think I'm right about this. Had they succeeded with that terrorism enhancement against my son, and were they to succeed in convicting the president at his trial, they would be saying, if this guy who was alone and didn't have any motivation to do any trouble, if he is a terrorist, well, certainly the man who organized everything, Donald J. Trump, certainly he's got to be a terrorist. And my guess is, Sandy, this is done to set the table to label the president of the United States a terrorist.
Oh, I think that, listen, Brent, I don't doubt that at all. I've heard all kinds of nightmare scenarios, and not just guesses, but that they were plotting actually with President Trump to send him to jail and then to announce, because he was a convicted, felt this might still happen, because he's convicted of this charge, I think it's a felony, that he can't have Secret Service protection anymore. So send him to Rikers or whatever they care to send him, and without protection. We are really living our own version of pre-Nazism, because they don't have full control yet. But they want it, and I don't think none of us are safe. I always tell our mutual friends, you know, this is what they're doing to the J6ers, but this is what they're going to do to each and every one of us. There's really, we have to fight now while we still can. When I wake up in the morning, I just thank you, Lord, that I'm still free, that we're still free. So while we're free, we have to do what we're doing. And so, Brent, let me ask you, because I need to let you go. I know you have many things to do. Are you going to speak out? How are you going to handle this? It's hard not to say something. I mean, you've got that big megaphone, Media Research Center. What are you going to do?
Now I'm speaking out. No, I couldn't. Again, what does this say about a Justice Department where I, as a third party, feared saying anything because it would jeopardize my son? In a fair and just society, I could say anything I darn well pleased, and it wouldn't affect what was happening with my son, but not in Biden's America. So I had to keep myself quiet for almost 3 years and not say anything. Well, now I'm speaking out. Now I want America to know just how unjust this is. Look, Sandy, there has to be not an investigation. We're way beyond that. There has to be a criminal prosecution of this Justice Department. It turns the system inside out to do that, but that's where we have to go. This is a Justice Department that's utterly weaponized. These are fanatics who know the power that they have in the federal government, and they are wielding it relentlessly. These are people who they despise Donald Trump. They are going to do everything in their power to stop him. But look, they also despise conservatives. They also despise Catholics and Christians. Look at the FBI circulating that memo where they got caught, and they said, well, it was only in Richmond, Virginia, but it turned out to be all over the country. A memo warning FBI agents to be on the lookout and be wary of traditional Catholics, you know, the ones who believe in the Latin Mass, putting out an alert with the FBI. This is the Big Brother world that we're living in today, and it's truly frightening, and these people truly need to be prosecuted.
Well, amen and amen. And that's what my constant prayer, that there's got to be justice, and we serve a God of justice, Brent. I mean, we're not seeing it right now, but we have a God of justice. It's close to his heart, real justice, honest justice, where what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And so we're waiting for that to happen, and God brings the best kind of justice. But in the interim, we're fighting for that, all of us, fighting it. And sometimes all we can use is our words, but words are powerful. And so certainly that's your forte, Brent. So go forth and make the case. And if you don't mind, I don't often do this, but I would love to pray for you and your family and your son. Can I do that before we say goodbye?
Sure, please.
Almighty God, we just ask you, Father, we ask you that you would be with this family, as you have been. I hear it in Brent's voice, and I hear that you've been with Leo. It's just obvious to me that as hard as it's been, that you have, you know, you shine in the darkest of places, and so we thank you for that. And yet, Father, we do ask that you, as the God of justice, we would love to see your justice. It would be a gift to us to see some of your justice. And so we ask for that in our lifetime, in the here and now, that you would show mercy when you choose, but also that you would bring justice. Be with Brent and his family. Be with Leo right now today, wherever he is. Lord, just speak to him, encourage his heart, and keep his family safe. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you, Brent. Well, Brent Brozell, it's a pleasure, and thank you for giving me this time. I just really do appreciate it, and we will continue to pray for you and your family. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Some of you are, you know, you have more finances than others. We're not all the same. Some of you are struggling, but others of you still have good resources. And if you have those kinds of resources, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, and that would reach 200 babies and their moms. To donate, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life, from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I've Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com.
Well, this one hurts. This one hurts a lot. Brent Bozell just posted the following. Brent Bozell is such a dear, decent man. His family is too. Great patriot. And a close, close, close friend of my family. And unfortunately, what has come was the worst of what could have come. He posted the following. I truly believe Judge John Bates is a fair judge and a good man. But today's judgment against my son is a complete travesty. In 2020, America was in flames as Antifa and BLM set fire to city after city. Seattle, Minneapolis, Portland, New York, St. Louis, Los Angeles, Washington, and so many more. Police stations were torched, and dozens of officers were injured, as all manner of projectiles from rocks to Molotov cocktails were hurled at them. Dozens of people died. The damage estimated at over $1.2 billion, the highest in American history. Yet there was no outrage from the Justice Department. Instead, silence. Tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of crimes will never be prosecuted. In New York, the city's paying riders $13 million for arresting them. My son, like tens of millions of other Americans, believed the 2020 presidential election had been stolen. It does not belong to any political organization. His only organized involvement in the 2020 elections was with a local church group that met daily to pray the rosary for America. On January 6, he entered the Capitol. After breaking two windows, cost under $3,000, he accepted responsibility for those offenses, as well as other minor ancillary charges. When he would not plead guilty to the charge of obstruction, as unconstitutional a charge as there ever was, and one which is about to be tossed out by the U.S. Supreme Court, the Biden Justice Department unloaded. 2.5 years after he was charged, on the eve of his trial, suddenly the so-called Justice Department found he'd assaulted a policeman when his body possibly momentarily brushed the officer. For this, my son has now been sentenced to 45 months in prison.
Well, in case you didn't recognize it, that was the voice of Mark Levin. Mark is a very close friend of Brent Bozell, and he was the first to go on the air to talk about this. You can hear the emotion in his voice. And I felt much the same. I feel much the same about this. So Bruce has joined me just for a second here, former FBI agent. You know we talked about this a lot. But Bruce, on what Brent just said about his son Leo, what are your thoughts and comments?
Well, I think it just reinforces what we've seen with so many of these January 6th defendants, and that is a pattern of, for the most part, these are people that are wonderful people, Christians, business people, soldiers, policemen, who went to the Capitol for a justified reason to protest, now have been, in so many cases, wrongly charged with crimes, and not only charged with crimes, but crimes that carry huge penalties that the government knows are not applicable to these particular people. We've seen these dynamic arrests by the FBI, tactical vehicles, guns pointed, people, doors kicked in.
Unbelievable.
And then when it gets to the sentencing part, right at the last moment, additional charges are added before a plea agreement is tried to be reached. And always the government seems to ask for the maximum sentence, no matter what a person's background is, whether they're like Leo that has never had anything more than a traffic ticket, the maximum sentence is requested. And I think what Brent said, the ultimate goal here is to take all of the things that happened to these January 6th defendants, take all their sentences, and turn it into the discussion that Donald Trump is a terrorist and that he should be disqualified for running for president.
You know, I think you're right. They always look, they can find opportunity whatever happens. Whatever the outcomes, they're always there with several different choices of how to make it worse for people and to gain power. So they have, it's a variety. It's like an A, B, C, or D, and whichever path they choose always causes harm. Honey, thank you for joining me. So much more to say, but Brent has said a lot, told us a gripping story. I hope you'll share this with your friends. I just hope you will. You'll share it so that people can understand what's really happening in our country right now. Well, for today, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.